In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
Vice President's support for anti-life policies in China draws ire.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Congressman Chris Smith expressed outrage recently over Vice President Joe Biden's confirmation of China's one-child policy. Smith called the policy hideous and one where women are hunted down and forced to abort their babies. Calling it the most pervasive act of violence against women anywhere in the world, Smith decried Biden's vocalized support for the policy. He continued, "The United States, under Obama, Hillary Clinton, and now Vice President Biden in this outrageous statement, is showing the world that we do not care about Chinese women and babies."
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
More often than not, I think the media looks at the black church as a political entity. There's no doubt about it. And there's been quite a bit of politics and social agenda running out of the black churches for a long time. But is there a way of looking at that social activism that is so commonly associated with black churches and asking critical questions like, is this what the church is here to do? Now, sometimes the answer to that question is going to be yes, and sometimes that answer will probably be no. Welcome back for the last half hour of Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon. It's the 6th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about social activism and the black church, Pastor Ken Jones. He's pastor of Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, and co-host of the White Horse Inn radio show. Pastor Jones, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Good to be on again. It's been a while.
What risk do black churches run if they define themselves or allow themselves to be defined by a cultural agenda or maybe just their ethnic makeup?
Well, I think it's multifaceted. The most simple answer is that they run the risk of defining themselves apart from the way the scriptures define the church. So therefore, it becomes a very narrow field and their agenda would become exclusively to a particular community or a particular ethnic group. And that argues against everything that Paul says about the makeup of the church in Ephesians, for instance, that the middle wall of partition coming down. So there are problems there, just even on at the level of the church. But politically, it has made historically the black church a political pawn.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's been assumed over the long history of the church that the black church is part of the Democratic Party, so it's considered almost taboo to suggest that a person is a member of a traditional African American church and is not a part of the Democratic Party. So they've become a pawn, and I think the support and maybe there has been a slight shift over the last few years, but for the most part, it's the assumption of Democratic Party is that they have the National Baptist Convention or the average African-American evangelical in their pocket.
How are we, for sake of our conversation, how are we defining black church?
I wrote an article for Modern Reformation where I defined the black church in an ethnic way, not just those that are made up of predominantly African American, but those who have defined their existence according to the model of the first African American churches in America, where their makeup was largely, or their purpose was largely, well, not just largely, but it was probably equally secular as well as spiritual. So there was it was the community builder, and I think it was necessary in those early days. But eventually, it became as the church became more integrated within the larger mainstream of churches as well as American society, there was no longer a need to define the black church in such a community or local sort of way. And it comes to a head in the 1961 National Baptist Convention, where you had the break off which became ultimately the Progressive Baptist Convention, where the purpose was to define the church's agenda according to those political parameters and community parameters. Whereas the traditional, those that remained in the National Baptist Convention, they understood the churches, even with the uniqueness of African-American citizens and the uniqueness of the African-American church, they still defined the church's agenda according to a more narrow biblical perspective. So what I mean by black church are those who are intentionally political and ethnically minded in terms of their constituency.
What role does the civil rights movement play in all of that? I mean, it seems, at least historically, inextricable from those events.
Well, the civil rights movement as a whole is an interesting period, because I think it's there that you more clearly begin to see a parting of the ways and from those two paradigms of the black church. Especially if you begin the civil rights movement itself back in the mid-50s and not just the immediate years that led up to the civil rights legislation. So you actually had, sort of a parting of the ways culminating with the March on Washington in 1963. But the civil rights movement, what makes it so interesting is, of course, what gave it its strength in the South was the infrastructure within the black community, beginning with the churches, because that's where they could hold their meetings for training. It was the safest place within the community, and so there was a lot of collaboration there of those that would define the church more narrowly, or the agenda of the church more narrowly, versus those that would define it more more biblically, or broadly and socially.
For those black churches that decided to be culturally defined or defined by the agenda of the civil rights movement or broader cultural agenda, did they lose kind of a fundamental Reformation distinction of two kingdoms, God's left hand, God's right hand, the civil realm versus the church?
Well, that presupposes a lot. I don't know if you could say consciously they held to those to that Reformation distinction, if they consciously held to it. So therefore, if they didn't consciously hold to it, I don't think you could say they lost it. I think one of the interesting things about studying the black church, it's an anomaly. It's an anomaly for a number of reasons. That whole entity, whether you define it culturally or you attempt to define it biblically, because the very inception of that category of the black church came as a result of failures both politically and religiously. So they were kind of finding their way. And, at some level you could say from the very beginning the two kingdoms were blurred because the black church felt the need to be a socially galvanizing institution within the community. So it's somewhat of an anomaly, and on this end of history it would be easy to just go to one particular point in time and say, okay, this is where the shift occurred, when I don't think it's in actuality, I don't think it was that easy. That's why I look at the 1961, I believe it was 1961 National Baptist Convention, as clear a turning point as possible, with the formation of the Progressive Baptist Convention.
What were the, let's take it apart then, that event. What were the political and then what were the theological issues that caused that turning point?
Well, the political issues were all of the things that had been argued and addressed with the civil rights movement beginning with in the mid-50s. And you had a group of ministers headed up by Martin Luther King, and especially those who were more academically trained in certain eastern cities, that wanted the National Baptist Convention to be more vocal and more, as a body, to be more vocal and involved in the movement. The movement itself included a wide range of denominations across the board and even outside of traditional circles to gain support. But they wanted the convention to take a stronger stand. The president at the time, Joseph Jackson, felt that the church's responsibility was a heavenly agenda, and that's where we would get the what we would call the clear distinction between the two kingdoms, that it's to equip its members for through discipleship, it's to spread the gospel, it's a word sacrament sort of entity, and therefore its agenda should not be confused with the social agenda. Well, the progressives, they broke away from the National Baptist Convention, and it wasn't because they weren't concerned about the social, the National Baptist Convention. It wasn't a matter of them not being concerned about the social plight of African Americans. They just didn't feel that as an institution it was the responsibility of the church to do so. So I think that's where you get the clearest separation of a paradigm shift in terms of the purpose of the local church. I do think that over the years, many that remained in the National Baptist Convention, they still sort of defined themselves at on a secondary level according to the agenda of the social civil rights movement. But at least initially, there was a clearer distinction as a body, a church body, that this is not the responsibility of the church, nor is it the way we are to be defined.
So, in essence, with less than a minute before we take our break, Pastor Jones, we're really talking about that break being theologically over the definition of what the church is, what the church is to be.
Yes.
Dr. Ken Jones is our guest. He's pastor of Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, co-host of the White Horse Inn radio program. It's Thursday afternoon, October the 6th. We're talking about social activism and the black church. One thing I've often wondered about, because my lifespan simply doesn't extend far enough back to have any experience with the black church before the civil rights era. What's the difference between the black church before civil rights and the black church now after civil rights? We'll answer that question. Also, we'll talk a little bit more about that two-kingdom theology. If the black church today has blurred, at the very least, blurred the two kingdoms, that is God's rule in the civil realm through human agencies such as governments, reason, and force, and God's rule through the word of God in the church toward the end of forgiving sinners their sins, do they need that distinction now? Pastor Ken Jones is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues, Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about social activism in the Black Church for the last 10 minutes of the program on this Thursday afternoon. Pastor Ken Jones is pastor of Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida, co-host of the White Horse Inn radio program. You can find out more about the White Horse Inn at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ken, my life doesn't extend far enough back to remember a Black church before the Civil Rights era. That's pretty much the picture I have in my mind. That's just the limit of my experience. What can you tell us about the Black church before Civil Rights was a movement in the mid-20th century?
Well, I would say that largely you would see what you would find in the white counterparts in those churches in terms of the content, the preaching, the teaching. The aura may be a little bit different as different people groups have a particular ethos, but overall, the content of the worship service, in other words, a black United Methodist Church would be pretty much, the order of service would have been pretty much along the same lines, and the agenda and the programs would be pretty much along the same lines as a white United Methodist Church, and the same would be with the Baptists and the other congregations. If there would have been any difference, it would have been some of the activities in most of the, especially in the South, but I would also say to some degree in the North, there would be burial societies that help to carry the expenses for or save money for burials within the community, simply because many of these things weren't available in the broader community. There would have been savings groups where they could save money for other things. So it would have been, for the most part, like its white counterpart. The activity would shift, or would have shifted more, like you mentioned, during the middle of the 20th century with the launching of the Civil Rights Movement. But the one difference, I guess, that should be thrown in, and this would be both in the North and the South, within the community, wherever there was a large or a specific African-American community, the spokesperson for that community would have been either a school teacher or the minister. So if any event that took place, which is why it was sort of a natural that the Civil Rights Movement would grow out of the church. The minister was considered the least threatening in the community, and therefore also able to address a broader the concerns of the community.
Theologically, how do you want to challenge the social activism of the Black church today?
Well, those churches that would intentionally define themselves through the civil rights model, my challenge would be first to biblical ecclesiology. I think militates against the idea of a community church that's drawn or determined by ethnicity. So the agenda is going to be naturally diluted, or what the church is, the problem there, of course, is that you're trying to engage in something that God has ordained for the good of the community and the society, but that's not where our power base is. Our power base as a church is not in politics. It's not in you know, any of those things that can be done by someone else. Our power base is in the Word of God. A church that seeks to define itself by a social or political agenda, it may seem like you're gaining power because, you know, you might have the national limelight and people, this has become the norm, not only in the black church. I think we've seen it in the evangelical, extreme conservative evangelical right-wing Christianity as well, or politics. But so you may think you have power because you have popularity, but the real power, of course, for the church is in word and sacrament.
So now we can talk about really churches defined by social activism, both white and black. I think you're quite right. There is a branch of white evangelicalism that has just to the same degree defined itself politically. And according to a social agenda, how could both black and white churches that have done this benefit from maybe discovering for the first time that distinction we talked about before between how God rules the civil realm through government, reason, and force, and how God rules his church via his word alone toward the end of the salvation of sinners?
Well, I guess on the one hand, you could say, well, how could they benefit? They could benefit by becoming actual biblical churches. That would be the end result, because you're nurturing people within the covenant community that have been called and strengthened by a particular thing, which is, again, through the Word. But the problem, of course, is that whether it's white or black, whether it's right or left, this has become the new standard. And so the assumption, just as we mentioned earlier, the assumption in many of the black churches is that, and how they have become a political pawn, is that if you are an African-American living in America, then you are automatically a member of the Democratic Party. And it's an assault to our intelligence to think that a Republican would set foot in our churches or that one of our constituents would actually be a member of the Republican Party. Well, I think the opposite is true on with a lot of conservative right-wing evangelicals, that how could anyone who is truly a Christian be a Democrat? And, of course, we would never have a Democrat speaking in our church. And so I think, you know, you have the same problem, two sides of the same coin. And it's largely because people have redefined the purpose of the church. And the purpose of the church can be defined, according to contemporary terms, it can be defined politically, economically, and along several other lines that are not biblical.
Can the black church in particular have both? Can it have this solid biblical grounding, self-understanding, and definition as church, as a community of believers gathered around God's word and his sacraments, and at the same time, that strong and influential moral voice in the civil realm to speak again, as many did in the civil rights movement, as the conscience of a culture or a nation?
Oh, I think so. And I think it probably is taking place in some places, that if the church is doing its job as the church and understands that it is governed by God in a particular way for a particular purpose, then part of the end result of that should be informed Christians who are parishioners in that local church who become better citizens, and they will take their resources and use their resources for the improvement of the community in the name of the kingdom of the left. And I don't think there's any inconsistency there, but I think that's where people have made the assumption that because you're saying that the church as an entity should not be engaged in these activities, that Christians as private citizens should not be engaged in it. And that's, nothing could be further from the truth.
Pastor Ken Jones is pastor of Glendale Missionary Baptist Church in Miami, Florida. He's co-host of the White Horse Inn radio program. Ken, thank you very much for your time.
No problem. It's good to be back with you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a weekly series on one of the big events that is often, well, not well understood in the history of the church, and it's called the Great Schism for a reason. In 1054, the church split east and west, but it didn't happen all at once in 1054. It began before that, and it didn't break all at once. It lasted for some time. Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska, will be our guest tomorrow to talk about the Great Schism of 1054. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a graphic novel. That means, well, an illustrated book, but it's serious history. And it's a real resource for people who may just be beginning a study of the Reformation. The history it deals with is the Reformation itself. It's called Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, from Concordia Publishing House. Find out more about this graphic novel that has real historical substance to it. It's not fiction, as most of them are. This is history. Call Concordia Publishing House and order Luther, Echoes of the Hammer, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Well, the church is constantly in danger of losing her way. And the only way she loses her way if she abandons who she is. The church is not permitted to define herself. She is already defined and instituted by Christ and Christ alone. He builds his church upon the foundation of his own shed blood at the cross, and the confession that that blood suffices for all time and eternity for the salvation of every sinner in the world. And if Christ has laid the foundation, then Christ has also said that he will build his church. Doesn't he say, on this rock, I will build my church? So if the church remains upon that foundation, making that confession, she remains the church. But if she decides she has something more important to attend to, be it the social agenda on the left or the social agenda on the right, or some particular issue, regardless of where it falls in the cultural or political agenda, then the church abandons who she is. She leaves the foundation and ceases to be what Christ builds and starts to be what only man can build. Well, now, man can do amazing things. He can build quite an organization. He can fill up churches with people who are disciples of a social agenda or a certain politics, but not disciples of Jesus Christ. So the church should remain on her foundation, Jesus Christ and none other. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.